Please rise. Peace to all the brethren in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for meditation this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Thus far our text. You may be seated. In the name of Him who provides us with everything necessary for the journey that we call life, dear fellow redeemed, there's a TV show called Alone, where the premise is a group of contestants are dropped into the barren wilderness, so far apart that they can never run into each other, and they are only given 10 items to bring with them in order to build shelter, find food, endure deep isolation, physical deprivation, and psychological stress, all while filming their experience. Now, the contestants are free to tap out whenever they would like, but the last person standing will win $1 million. But as winter fast approaches, the difficulties to find food, the psychological impacts from loneliness, and the physical weakness from an unbalanced diet sees many contestants literally reach their breaking point. And as tough as that may sound, now imagine being thrown into that same situation, but at the same time knowing that someone is hunting you down, trying to kill you. Well, that is the situation Elijah finds himself in our text this morning. Elijah had become public enemy number one to the most powerful and wicked person in the land, Queen Jezebel. Jezebel was the wife of King Ahab in Israel, and she was the one who had promoted Baal worship amongst the Israelites. And how did Elijah manage to become her public enemy number one? Mount Carmel. If you remember the account, Elijah challenged over 400 prophets of Baal to a contest to see whose God is really the true God. The test was simple. Build an altar. Then call upon your God to send down fire from the sky and ignite the altar. The prophets of Baal cried out with all their might, even going so far as to hurt themselves in a desperate attempt to get their God to hear them. And Elijah, knowing full well that Baal does not exist, mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he's on a journey, or he's sleeping and must be awakened." But when it was Elijah's turn, he wanted to make sure that there was no doubt whatsoever who the true God in Israel was. Elijah poured water all over his altar so that it not only soaked everything on the altar, but it filled a trench that he had dug around it. And he prayed to God, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know you, O Lord, that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Now, I'm sure you know what happens next. God sends down fire from heaven that evaporates every drop of water and everything that was on the altar, proving that Jehovah is a true God. But this alone doesn't really seem worthy to make Elijah Jezebel's number one enemy, does it? That's because Elijah did not let the prophets of Baal get off scot-free. The people of Israel that were there rounded them up and killed them. And this is what got Elijah on the hit list. This is what made Jezebel put a bounty on his head. And to Elijah, that was the last straw that broke his back. He had been so zealous for the Lord and thought that this episode at Mount Carmel would be the catalyst for the nation to return to the true worship of God. Finally, after all this hard work, the people would listen to God. But what happens instead? The people stay rooted in their Baal worship, and Elijah gets a bounty put on his head? Is it any wonder that Elijah runs off to the wilderness? That he asks God to take his life away from him? All exasperated, depressed, all alone? Some feelings transcend time, don't they? Whether it's Elijah in the 9th century BC or whether it is Christians in the 21st century, these feelings make their appearance more often than we want them to. Even as a congregation, can't we feel outcast and alone? Living in a nation that is continually despising Christianity, among a people that has no time for the God of the Bible? Or maybe our loneliness is in the fact that the nearest congregation in our fellowship is 5 hours away. Isolation can be a killer emotion. It can cripple the strong and eviscerate the vulnerable. What about you? Do you feel isolation, exasperation, depression? Maybe there's been a cloud that has been hovering over your head, over your life for the longest time, and you've just had to learn to live with it. Or maybe you feel isolation from your family, those who were once close have broken contact, children move away. There's no one to provide that emotional support you so desperately need. There are countless other ways that we feel isolated or depressed in our own lives. Each one of you is different, and you have your own struggles that you have to deal with the best you can. But as different as we all are, we find ourselves in the same position as Elijah. Spiritually, we often let our tank dwindle down to empty. Whether that comes from avoiding church, or not reading the Bible, or letting the Word go in one ear and out the other. So often, we let the circumstances of the world around us, and even our own responsibilities outside of the church, dominate our time and our minds. rather than making sure that new life God has given us is fed by His Word. Elijah relied so much upon the awesome, miraculous power of God that when it didn't produce the outcome that he wanted, he didn't think that there was anything else that could possibly work. There is no other avenue to success. And that is when God comes to him and sets the record straight. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." Two times the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Son of God, came to Elijah and instructed him to arise and eat. Why? Well, because the journey is too great for you. The Lord was preparing Elijah for his 40-day journey to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Being the only meal that he ate between this point in the wilderness and reaching Mount Horeb, it is certain that God was working a miracle to preserve this food for Elijah that he might make the journey. Left to his lonesome, he certainly would have collapsed from exhaustion before making it even halfway. And so here we see how God first lets Elijah know that he is not alone, and how he shows his continuous provision for his servant. And it wasn't just this instance. Over the last 3.5 years, God had brought a drought on the land as a judgment for the people's idolatry. But the whole time, God made sure to provide for Elijah. He brought him food by the mouth of a raven and made sure the brook Cherith did not dry up. So the angel of the Lord coming and inviting him to rise and eat serves as a reminder to Elijah how God never forgot him. Instead, God has been providing for and preserving him the entire time Elijah was his prophet. But the provision the Lord gives is more than just nourishment for Elijah's body. We find it in the words, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And yes, the journey to Mount Horeb was too great for Elijah to do alone. But so also was Elijah's journey as God's prophet. There is not a single prophet of the Lord who had an easy life. They were continuously rejected and persecuted because they preached that word from God that the people did not want to hear. As such, it was a job that some, like Jeremiah, felt unworthy to partake in. But it is the very words of the Lord to Jeremiah that ring true for all of his prophets, for Elijah, for you and me today. "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," declares the Lord. God knew what his prophets would face in their lives and the extremely difficult situations, both of body and of mind. Because of that, God did not send his prophets out alone. He went along with them every step of the way. And here, he is simply reminding Elijah of that fact in Elijah's direst moment. This reminder continues in the later part of chapter 19, when Elijah's on Mount Horeb. God sends a rock blasting wind, an earthquake, and a fire. Tremendous acts of nature. But God's presence was not in any one of them. This was to show Elijah that God does not rely on great miraculous acts to further his kingdom. While they provide a great testimony to the nature of who God is, that is not what God uses to bring his peace and salvation to the earth. That comes from the still small voice that followed the wind, earthquake, and fire. That still small voice is a message of the gospel that reached out to Elijah and reminded him that he is backed by the Almighty God, the God who fulfills his promises. His life and mission is in the hands of the one who saves him from his sins, the one who is more powerful than Jezebel or any other agent of the devil who wants to quash the kingdom of God. And so in the same way that God invited Elijah to feed his soul on that word, he also invites you to arise and eat from the same comfort of his gospel. Receive for your soul the sustenance you need to finish your journey God has set before you. God says to you, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. In our gospel lesson, Jesus proclaims himself as the bread of life, the Word made flesh. He is the source of this everlasting food that does not waste away, does not perish, but lasts until eternity. It is that food that he invites you to eat from, the food of the gospel. In the gospel, God shows you how you are never truly alone, how he has preserved millions of Christians across the globe who still confess faith in the one true God, in Jesus Christ, whom he sent. He has fed you every step of your journey of life. Not just in the days where you had plenty and were full, but even in those days when you had nothing. And especially in those days when you felt the most alone. Not once did God ever leave your side. And how can I say that for a certainty? Because he died for you. He's willing to come to this earth and die on the cross in your place. He went through hell so that your sins could be forgiven forever. He loved you even when you had nothing worthy to be loved for. God has done for you exactly what he did for Elijah. He has shown you his love in his son Jesus. And he promises that that love will continue to carry you to heaven's gates. God knows your life's beginning when he formed you in your mother's womb. And God knows your life's end when he will call you home to be with him. And in the meantime, God also knows your mountains and your valleys. And so hear now the call the Lord makes to you, the same call he made to Elijah. Arise and eat. Yes, your journey is too great for you, but do not be afraid, for I am with you. I have called you by name. You are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.